Zevo Ari, my Bardalis, Omer Rav Yehuda Nivruza, my Nivruza, Omer Rav Yosef Apa. Anybody with an art scroll? What? Striped leopard. May today. Rav Meir Omer Afat Savua. What did Harei translate Savua? That's a striped leopard. Well, the Gemara says Rav Elazar Omer Afan Nachash. Omer Rav Yosef Savua Zuafa. Like Kasha. Kambat Zuva Zachar. Kambat Zuva Nekeva. So the Zuva Zachar. It's one of the caves, so it depends which Savua, if it's been a Tarbus or not. The Tanya. Savua Zachar, Lacha Shevishonim Nasa Ataleif. Ataleif, Lacha Shevishonim Nasa Arpod. Again, you have the Taich on this. Ataleif, usually translate a bat. So this animal becomes a bat. 7 years later, it becomes an arpod. What does it say about an arpod? Different type of bat. Lachas shevisharim nasa kimush. That's a thorns. Lachas shevisharim nasa chuch. Okay, chuchim, chuchim are flowers. Lachas shevisharim nasa shade. So Gemara says that this transition which takes place. And Shedre Shaladim Lacha Shevisharim Nasa Nachash. Okay, I'd like to say something about this Gemara, which I'm sure you all did not spend a whole lot of time being ma'ayin into this particular chain of events. But I'd like just to tell you a yisoid, which is as much a yisoid as anything we learned in Yani Halacha, but something that you should know for Inyanei Agadita and Gemara in general. Do you think this lion becomes a bat? Do you believe the lion becomes a bat? Huh? It's not at the zoo. The lion in the zoo doesn't turn into a bat. So this means only not in the zoos. Is this Gemara meant to be understood literally or not meant to be understood literally? If the Gemara says it's meant to be understood literally, so then so we would understand it, huh? Come back in the next world to see that it happens. Okay. So you should know for Shas in general, there is a machlaikis between Gedalei Olam as to how Agadah is to be understood. The Shita Samarsha in Shas is Bishita, is that every Gemara that the Gemara says is to be understood literally. I say every Gemara, there are a few exceptions. But generally speaking, every Gemara, every Agadah to Gemara is to be understood literally. The most extreme example of this is in the Agadah in Hamechas Asfin in Bava Basra, where the Gemara tells about a bird that was flying and laid an egg as it was flying, and it destroyed 30 cities. So the Marsha there explains it b'derech mashal. And after he finishes the Derech Mashal, he says, don't think that I don't believe in the Gemara Derech Pshat also. The Pshat in the Gemara is, the Gemara is not Yetzimidei Pshuta. The Pshat in the Gemara is Emes also. But the Gemara brings the story because there are certain Ramazim. So that Gemara is very hard to understand, to how the Marsha can understand it literally. But that's the Marsha Shita. Marsha Shita is that just about every Gemara in Shas has to be understood literally, and that's if we don't understand it, so it's a kasha on us. It's also the shita of the Chidushi Aga'inim. There's a Chidushi Aga'inim which is brought always in Yaakov on the side. The Shita's Aga'inim also is that every Gemara is literal, and they bring a raya because there's a Gemara Maseches Tamid that says that whenever it says in Shas 300 gimel meyais, it's a guzma. It says it took 300 people to be tevel the pareches. So the Gemara says it's a guzma. The number 300 in Shas is always meant to be a guzmah. So the Gaonim say, you see, the Gemara says that 300 is a guzmah, but not every one of these Gemaras really should be understood literally. That's the shita of the Marsha, the Gaonim. The Rambam shita is that in general, all of the Agadot Gemaras that talk about these type of things, I don't mean the Agadot Gemaras that tell you about Rishon and Rish Lakish, but these type of Agadot Gemaras are all Derech Mashal. The Rambam says that the Sudas Leviyasan Basid Lavai doesn't mean that there's going to be a fish that's going to be shechted and eaten. The Leviyasan, he says, is a certain Kayach HaSichli that it's referring to, a certain Kayach of understanding, and that these things are all meant to be non-literal. And that's always the Derech of the Maral, and all those that go with the Maral's Mahalach. The Maral says on the Gemara, it's a Gemara that says that Pare was one Amatol, Gemara in Erevin. Pare was one Amatol, and that Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 Amatol. That's from Gemaras. So the Maral says that it's not to be understood literally. The Moshe Rabbeinu being 10 amas tall would be a tremendous curse. Why should Moshe Rabbeinu have such a curse? If somebody, imagine someone who's 10 amas, I don't know if Moshe Rabbeinu would have been the Chazon Ish Shir but even the smaller Shir, 15 feet tall. It's a big curse to be 15 feet tall. I mean, you can't walk into anybody's house. You can't find the clothing to wear, and you can't. To be 15 feet tall is a klala. Why would someone think that Moshe Rabbeinu has such a terrible einish? It's not even shayach l'chayre, because if Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avaida for the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, and one of the Mumei HaKayin, the Rambam says that he's too tall, it's a mum for kuhuna. I don't know how tall, but 10 amas is definitely too tall. It's definitely a mum. So the Maral is masvid that Gemara is to be not understood literally. That means the way he's masvid is that really, everyone's physical stature should be based on his ruchniyistika stature in Olam Hazeh. Except that Olam Hazeh has a makom hester upon him. But Be'etzah, Moshe Rabbeinu should have been 10 amas tall, and Pare should have been 1 amas tall. But not that it's meant to be literal. So this is a machlaikis. It's important to know. There are klal, the Ashkocha Sachayim. Someday you'll bump into a friar person, he'll show you a Gemara, and he'll say, what's going on? And even though the Marsha generally understands it literally, the Mahalach of most of all of the Bali Machshava, the Maral, Mr. Malio, you know, Tosfos on the Yomid Beis brings that there's a loose bone, that a person that doesn't get destroyed. There's a little bone that a person has in his neck, the luz, and it's fed from the Rav Malka, and it doesn't get destroyed. From that, you get up at Tfiyas Ameis. So Michtam Elio writes, don't go looking for it. Not a bone. We don't have an amuna that when a body rots, or if you go to Auschwitz, you'll dig up, you'll find somewhere a couple hundred thousand bones that didn't get destroyed by the fire. Michtam Elio says that's not what luz means. The luz is a certain koyach hachiyos. The word luz is used in shas for certain nihilus, the city of luz. And he says it's not meant literally. Now, if you're in a chassidish yeshiva and you say that, they'll throw you out. Because there's a certain mahalach, the marshal's mahalach, that everything has to be understood literally, that we have an amunah shalem. Now the Rajba was a big loichem against the Rambam shita and philosophy. And the Rashba held that if a Gemara could be understood literally, it should be understood literally. And Afal Pikein, there are certain Gemaras that the Rashba himself explains non-literally. All those Gemaras in the Meches HaSfina, the Rashba has Chidushi Agadis. It was just recently reprinted by Moshe Rav Kook. He says that all of the things there in the Meches HaSfina. Those of you who learned to remember the Agadah Gemara about people landed on an island and they lit a fire and turned out the island was a whale. And this Gemara with the bird. He says they're all Marah HaChaloim. They're all Chaloimists that Bali Sfina had. He says that they shouldn't be understood literally. he says, the Rashba says, Moshe Rabbeinu was not 10 amos tall. It's not emes that he was 10 amos tall, it's meant Derech Melitza. And there's a letter to the Rashba, where someone wrote to him saying, I thought you were on our side. You know, what are you, you're on the Rambam side? Look, I'll be this. I thought you're on our side. You explained Gemara literally. So there's a tshuva of the Rashba, which I think they printed, if you get the Maaseh Rav Kook, the set of Chiddushei Rashba, they have within the Sefer Chiddushei Agadas, I believe in the Hagdama, it's printed. I was once at a Simcha in Yeshiva Brooklyn, and in between I went upstairs to Beis Meresh to learn a little. I had just come out. I learned it then. I think it's in the Hagdama there. The Rashba writes that even though we don't hold that every Agadita has to be understood literally, he says, do you think the Pasuk says, Kol Atzei Hasoda Yimchar Uchof, that all of the forests and the field are going to clap their hands. Do we have to have an amuna that when Mashiach comes, the trees will grow hands and they're going to clap? Is that a machayev? Obviously certain things are derech melitza. And therefore the Rashba says, even if you go with the Shita, that whenever you could explain it literally, explain it literally, nevertheless you should understand that it's not all the time. So this is a mahalach you have to know. There's a lot more that a lot of other gemaras, we could talk about it for a very long time. We could show some machlekes tanoim by the Kabbalah, that there's a river, the Sambatyayim. There's machlekes tanoim if there's such a thing as a Sambatyayim, even though there was such a Kabbalah, or if it's meant derech marshal. So it's an old machlekes. Now Barbanel is a sefer Rosh Emunah. In the Agdama he writes, Derech HaSfardim Kishitas HaRambam, that all Agadot is not literal, but Derech HaShkenazim is Kishitas HaRashba, that the Agadot is generally all literal. That's what the Rabbeinu writes. I think it may have changed over the Doris, but there's such a Shitas HaChayim. I'm pretty sure the Chassidish Yeshivas, they go very strong that every Agadot the Gemara, or generally Agadot the Gemara, is to be understood literally. That's the Mashaz Mahalach. And if you don't understand, so you have a kasha. There are a lot of shrekai. Sometimes maybe the mitzvah has changed. Maybe these animals did change once upon a time and the mitzvah has changed. Could be. But most of Rabbi Seinu in the yeshiva world, certainly about the machshava, go with the mahalach. They explain all the agadot to gemaras. And again, I don't mean the agadot to gemaras that Rabbi Kiva was killed by Kiddush Hashem. That's literal. But these type of agadot to gemaras, They explain it this way. So that's the first yediyah you should know. The second yediyah is that there's a letter from the Ramchal, from Rabbi Moshe Chaim Matzata, which is printed in the Hagdama to the Ein Yaakov. And I believe there's a letter there also from the Shlo. Also Hagdama La'agadah that's printed. And they both say the same thing. That when Ravina Ravashi came to write down the Gemara, because it will be forgotten, they will misupik what to do about Divrei Kabbalah. If they don't write Kabbalah down, nobody will know it. If they do write it down, everybody will know it. So they wrote the Kabbalah in Yonim by disguising them as Agadot the Gemaras. So that if you want to teach it, you can teach someone. A lion becomes a bat, the bat becomes a flower, etc. But that's the reason for all these agadotes is because they are seidus achayim that are hidden in them. And again, it's an Indian that could use a harchava, an explanation, but I just want you to have the idea. First, the first idea that it's a machlokes if they're to be understood literally or not. And the second idea, the shitas haramchal and the shloah, about the reason for these types of gemaras. The third nakuda, which is a serious machlaikis, has to do with things that touch on the sciences in Shas. If things that say in Shas, anything that's a Kabbalah, we have a Kabbalah, anything that made its way into the Gemara, there was no lack of Harvanya to get into the Gemara. It's not like today, where every two words that Chaim Kanievsky says, they put in a safe and they print. Not to take away from Chaim Kanievsky, but every two words they say gets printed and ki'ilu it's halachim shemesina. It's not that way in the Gemara. In the Gemara, Amiram taught for dozens of years. What got into the Gemara were only specific things. There's certain Amiram that I mentioned five times in the little Shas. We have a Kabbalah that whatever is put into Shas, the Harvanya that was necessary to be Mevar the Inyan was not lacking. There was no lack of Haravim. I mentioned to you the other day that there's no Machlekes and Metzias. Any Metzias that could be Mavurer, there's no such thing in Shas. If they could be Mavar, they were Mavar. There's certain Metzias that you can't be Mavar. The Kedesh LaHashem on the Tzitz, if it was in one line or two lines. So Machlekes and Metzias was in one line or two lines. You can't be Mavar, if you can't Haravim be Mavar. If Yesh Begidin B'Nais and Tam, if the Gid HaNosh has taste, it's possible to figure out. So, we have a Kabbalah, whatever's in Shas, they harav it on. The question is, things that are in Shas that are dependent on science, whether they are, well, we have a Kabbalah this way because it's in Shas, or not. And this, there are again big Chalukei Deis. The Rambam Shita, I think it's well known, is that whatever is in Shas that's based on the Chachmas of science, is only kafi the science of the time. And there's no chiv to be a mammon. Things that have to do with the sciences. The Gemara Darshan is a pasuk, explains a pasuk, that's something else. But a Gemara that says that a lion turns into a bat, all these things, I mean, the truth is that, like we say, Chachmik in Yoni Kabbalah, hidden in that. But the Rambam writes that you don't have to believe it's written kafi the science of the time. And there's no question, the Achel came on this. And there's been a lot of tumbling in every door over people who say something and says in Gemara is not to be understood literally or yet to be understood. And then there's a tumult. There are those who are the Shomer HaChaim is told everything has to be literally. I was in Spal, I was in Monroe in the summer. There was a tape. They had a tape. Somebody explained the sun and the moon, the astronomy and the Shas. So I was astonished that when he started, he spoke about the machlekes, that the sun goes around the earth, or the earth goes around the sun. And he spoke about it, kilu, even till today. There's some hold like this, some like that. I'm not being machriya. That's how he starts his speech. The earth goes around the sun goes around the earth. I'm not being machriya. However you want. But he quoted, I think, some sefer in the letter that he said that it's not epicursus to believe the earth goes around the sun. And he goes back. I was in the spell. I realized there's still some circles that feel that everything, and the Gemara Grada says that the halach is kechachmi u'masa'ilam, who said differently than chachmi Yisrael u'masinim. But even the Rambam, if you read the Rambam describes the sun as going around the earth. If you learn the Rambam, he'll skid a shachaydish. He says the sun goes around the earth. But the Rambam himself says that what's in Gemara is kefi chachmas hazman. So certainly what the Rambam wrote is kefi chachmas hazman. But this is another area in which they are legitimate machlaiksin. And it's not because it's to say, like the Rambam says, that the science of the Gemara is kefi hazman. The refuas in the Gemara we certainly don't do hazman. So these are three ideas that Ben Torah should have, even though you don't bump into it. These ideas require as much Ravanya as figuring out any Han Shveratisis to understand them. So I'm just telling you the Rashi Prakim that you should know that there are Chulukideyas on how to look at Agadita, and each Shita has its marker someplace, and it's not not to be mevatel. The next line of the Gemara says, "Shidra shel adam la'acha sheva shanim nasa nachash ani mili d'leikara b'maydam." That the spine of a person turns into a snake if he doesn't bow down by maydam. Again, I think most of us would feel that this Gemara is not meant to be understood literally. Certainly, the way I understand it, but afal pikein, it's a little shver. It says, "Hani mili d'leikara b'maydam." So Tosis on the Yamid Beis, yes, Akasha. That it's shver to say that if someone doesn't bow down by Maidim, that they mechelik olam haba. Tosis by it sounds like he blied shver. Ain't svara loimer. Tosis who blied karav and Maidim. Ain't svara loimer. She ainish gadol kol kach b'shvil avoyim zeh. Rav Aaron has an interesting beside. It's a nice beside. Rav Aaron, in the Mishnah's Rav Aaron, I think it's they have four chalokim, and it's probably in two or three of them. The beside is, he paraphrases a pasuk in Mishlei, "Boz ledavar yechav elai." If you mevazah something, yechav elai, it's going to be mazik you. The Gemara says, "Boz ledavar yechav elai," by David HaMelech, when he cut off the beged of Shaul, his mevazah a talus, he cut off the quarter of his talus cotton. So yechav elai. So later on, Begadim didn't warm him. If you mevazah something, it doesn't stand up for you. So Rav Aaron says it about Shmoneh Esrei. The davening Shmoneh Esrei. The Gemara says, this Gemara is talking about bowing by Moedim. There's a Gemara in Yuma that says that if you don't take three steps out of Shmoneh Esrei, after Shmoneh Esrei, so it's Roy Loi Shalei Yisbal, it's better not to daven. Very hard to understand. What's a big deal? You do take three steps back. You don't, if you're on an airplane, sometimes, you know, somebody's sick in the hospital bed. So you can't take three steps back. So what do we tell them? That he shouldn't daven? Let's chat in the Gemara. So Rav Aaron says, this is side, Boz ledavar yechav eloi. If a person can't step out Shmoneh Esrei because whatever physical reason, that's not what the Gemara is talking about. Says it means a person, when he daven Shmoneh Esrei, feels that the Rabbanei Shalom is in front of him. He has the hergish. Sometimes you do have kavana, sometimes you don't have kavana, but you machshiv the davening. So then the davening is oimed for you. Davening will come through for you if you machshiv it. Boz ledavar, if you mevazah the davening, if you don't feel you're standing in front of the Bayri Yalim, you don't take three steps back, you don't see yourself as standing in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So yechav elai, so the anish is that Shmoneh Esrei will not come through for you. So that this Maidin, if you don't bow by Maidin, if you don't feel that there's some, you don't have the hergish that you're davening to the Bayri Yalim, there's somebody to bow to. So yechav elai, it doesn't come through for you afterwards. And he says it's that way with people also. You mevaza people, they won't minashamayim. They won't come through for you when you need them. Boz ledavar, if you mevaza yechav elai, you'll never. Things won't help you. If you machshiv something, if you give a kavod to something, then it comes through for you. So that's Rav Aaron's side about Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, let's turn back to Hilchos Bava Kamma. Amamar. Ramei Raimer Afa Tzavua. Rabbeleza Aimer Afa Nochash. Afa Nochash. Af means that he holds that they're all Muadim. Banantanan says in our Mishnah, Rabbeleza Aimer, Bizman Shehein B'nei Tarbus, Einan Muadim. When they're B'nei Tarbus, when they're tame, so the Gemara Tani Nachash. So don't say Afa Nachash, change your girsa to Nachash, and we understand Rabbi Elazar's shita. Amishmo. Ari b'shusar Rabin. Doras va'ochal poter, Torah va'ochal chayiv. Okay, here we're taught something about an Ari. Is not makbid on Eiver Menachai. That's the Gemara saying. The Ari eats its prey without killing it, just bites into live prey. And that's the normal way. Doras va'achal potter. That's the normal shame of an Ari. Torah va'achal chayv. It first rips apart its prey, and then it eats it chayv. Why? Daras v'achol patik even dorech elamidrus. Havalei k'maisha achla peris v'yarakas davalei shem v'shusarab. U'patik. If it does it in the normal way, that's the Ari's shame. Shem v'shusarab mispatik. Taraf lav orachehu. But it's not normal for it to be taraf to first kill it. Lav orachehu, that's not the normal way. And therefore, what's the halacha by Taraf? Taraf achal chayiv. Rashi said, what does chayiv mean? Chatzi nezek. Rashi says it means chatzi nezek. Last week we learned the sugya of kalba da'achle imra and shunra da'achle tarnagayla on tesvavam ibeis. The Gemara said it's not normal for a kalba to eat a live imra. So the Gemara said that that's karen. It's not normal for a kalba to eat an imra. The Rosh Hashita was that hanimili, the killing of the imra. When the kelev kills the imra, it goes down in value because it's dead. So that decrease in value is karen, because that's not normal. But once the kelev kills the imra, and it's a dead carcass of an imra, it has a certain value, and then the kelev eats it, that eating is normal. That's shame. So we learned the Rosh Hashita was that kalba d'achle imra, you have to split it in half. You have the half of kalba d'achle imra, which is the killing of the imra, which is karen, and which everyone is maida. And the Rosh Hashidish, that afterwards, when the kalba eats the imra, that is shame. And that was the law, not like the other Rishayim, the way we understood from the other Rishayim. They held that the entire kalba d'achle imra is karen. The way we were masburid, because if you come to the shame through a mishuna dekaifin, then the shame itself is also mishuna. But al kapanim, over here, the eating of the imra we said is a keren, is shame according to the shita sarash. What about this gemara? The Gemara here says the Ari is Dairis, is Torah for Achal, it's Lav Orachei. How's the Rosh going to learn that? The Chaira, the Rosh is going to have to learn this Gemara the same way. No? Torah for Achal Chayiv. How are you going to learn the Gemara? Torah for Achal Chayiv. You say it's not normal for the Ari to be Torah for Achal. What's not normal? The taraf is not normal. Once the Ari comes upon a behemoth and it rips it up and then it eats the carcass of the animal, the eating is normal. So the Marshal says that L'chayru, we're going to have to learn like the Rosh, this Gemara the same way. Taraf or Achal is Chayiv, Al-Chatzinezek, Al-Karen, that's going on the etzem damage of the being tyrif. But once you're tyrif and there's a dead animal there and the animal eats it, that is already shame. That'll be part of Rishu Saram. That's the way you have to learn the Gemara, which so far is not shver. We'll see how it stems with the Gemara Vayit. Lememra the tree for lav orcheu. In fact, the Gemara is being tyrif, not normal, vaksiv. Ariyei tyrif, bidai goy raisav. The Ari is tyrif to give enough to its cubs. Remember the Gemara, Bishvil Gairaisa. When the Ari is hungry for himself, he's Dairis Vayachal. When he has to bring stuff home for the babies, so then he's Tyrif Vayachal. And our Gemara was talking about when he eats it himself. The same thing, Umechanek Lulavaisav, Bishvil Lavaisav. Yumalei Tarif Churav, Bishvil Churav. Umeinaisav Treifa, Bishvil Meinaisav. So Mara saying that the Ari, it depends what he's planning to do with the food. If he's planning to eat it, he's dairis vayichol. If he's planning to store it or to bring it home for the baby, then it's dairis. Then it's tairif vayichol. And then it's orchei, and the other way it's not orchei. But Tanya. V'cheichaya shenichnes alochotzer anizik. Tarfa beim ava achla basar mishalim nezik shalem. Shveran Shmuel. What did Shmuel say? That Torah Vayichol is Chayiv only Chatzi Nezek because it's Keren. We have a Beferish of Braisa. The Chen Chayish in the Solochotzer and Nizek Torah Vayichol Basar Misham Nezek Sholem. So you see that it's Chayiv Nezek Sholem. So Frek the Marshal, this Braisa is shver on the Rosh. This Braisa, this Gemara's kasha from this Braisa is shver on the Rosh. What's the Rosh Hashitah? That if an animal kills another animal, delayko orchei, that it's only the killing that's not orchei, and the subsequent eating is orchei. So when Shmuel said, Torah for ochal, which is not normal, Torah for ochal chayiv, chayiv chatinezek, that Torah for ochal chayiv chatinezek is only going on the being tyrif, on the killing of the behemoth. But on eating the meat afterwards, that's already shame, and that is already orchei. That's why we have to learn like the Rosh. But look at the lashon of this braisa. Chichaya shenistus v'lochotza nizik tarfa behemah v'ochla basar v'shal nizik shalem. Here it says ochla basar v'shal nizik shalem. That if it eats the basar, you pay nizik shalem. So the Gemara is asking it as a kasha. What's the kasha? What's shver? Ochla basar v'shal nizik shalem is shver. Ochla basar v'shalim nezek shalim. The Rosh says that's included in Shmuel. Shmuel only said that killing the animal is chatzi nezek. Ochla basar, when it eats the basar of the dead animal, of course it pays nezek shalim. So what's the kasha? What? Well, if we have a kasha, we have the ability to answer this way. Gemara is asking a kasha on Shmuel. Chayyid, the Gemara should have answered that the Ochla Basar is Mishal Nezek Sholem, that the only Mechayif and Nezek Sholem on the Chelek HaChima.
So in the first place, when it says before, also we said Tayyim, Chati Nezek, so we assumed it was talking about the
Tarafa. Tarafa, Ochla Chayif, so Chayyu can answer. Shmuel is going on Taraf, which you have to say anyway according to the Rosh. And this price is going on the Echila.
Well, why would
it
do that?
I could phrase the Kasha your way. All right, you're right. I could rephrase the Kasha. That it says here that Torah Fachol, Vachla Basar, Sham Nezek Shalem, that the Gemara is asking as a Kasha. I'm sorry, I'll rephrase it from Shmuel. Shmuel said, Doras Fachol, the old is going on both. So I could pay as the Kasha there. That there we see, Beferish not like the Rosh. If you want to say that it's going on both, I could ask straight from there. Now, Shishlema gives in that you could be Mechalik, you could divide it. But if you could divide it, then divide it here also. So we say.
Then divide and say if it's going on the first one.
Well, if you want to divide it, then the first Taraf Achol, that is Chatzi Nezek, is going on the Trefa. And the second Taraf Achol is going on the Echilim.
Well, why
would
you switch?
Well, one Shmuel, one Tarafa. If you're not asking to split it, it's okay with me. Then Shran the Rosh right away.
Now, if you want to split it,
you split it.
Split it the same way, we'll split it.
Well, one is Shmuel, one's a Braisa. If they're different psakim, I could split it to make it fit, like the Gemara always does. That's the style of the Gemara. Especially here it says, V'achla basar, it seems to say the finish. The Imre Moshe has an interesting horror here to take away the Yamsha Shlomo's Kasha. Dimri Moshe is a similar Amid Aleph, Ois Dalit. And it's based on a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Dav Chav Dalit, which you all learned, it's Nail Metzias. In the Gemara in Bava Metzia, as you know, is a sugya of Zutei Shel Yam. Remember the halach of Zutei Shel Yam, that if something is caught in the flooding of the Yam, it becomes Hefker. It's an automatic Aveda. If there's a flood and something is being washed away, so Hamatzel Mezutei Shiyam is Hariyel Shalom. You save something from a flood, it's yours. And even though the Rambam says that's only if the owner saw it and he's Miayish, Rambam Shita is Zutei Shiyam requires that the owner should see it and be Miayish. But all the other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. So the Ferish of Gemara and Elam Tzias, not like the Rambam. That Zutei Shel Yam is even Yerushalayim Yidas. He's Vaidish, and he also that it's Zutei Shel Yam. That Zutei Shel Yam, even if the owner is unaware of it, if there's a situation where the person's thing is definitely going to be lost, it's Avudu Mikol Adam, then that Zutei Shel Yam, then it's yours. And even the Rambam seems to say Fakert, so that those don't want to answer, that the Rambam is Mechalek, something that's it's possible to save, that depends if the owner's miayish. So it's impossible to save. It It's totally, I mean, eventually it's going to get washed up somewhere from the Yam. But the person doesn't have the ability to control it. So the Rambam is Maida that it's Miyuyish. One of the examples of Sutra Shel Yam is an Ari. An Ari, the Gemara says in Eilu Metzias, Hamatzel Min Ha'Ari is Zutei Shel Yam. If the Ari goes after a sheep, that's as good as a flood. It's impossible to control the Ari, for a human being to control the Ari. And the Gemara says that Hamatzel Min Ha'Ari is Zutei Shel Yam. So the Rebbe Moshe wants to say a tremendous chiddush in our Gemara. He says that daras va'ochel chayiv is only on the drisa. If someone owns an ari and it's daras, somebody's animal, so the drisa of the animal you have to pay for. The killing of the animal. Once the animal is dead and the ari is standing over it, that animal is zutei shel yam. It's an aveda. You don't have to pay if something now, if your ari eats the carcass of the animal, he says you're patur lagamri. The owner is miayish. You have to pay for the fact that the ari killed the animal. But once you have an ari standing over a dead animal, that's zutei shel yam. The owner is miayish. The way we paskin, even Yishalei Midas works by zutei shel yam. So he says that there would be no chiyuv. It's not like kalba dochle imra. A kalba dochle imra, the caliph kills the calf, the caliph kills the sheep. If you come with a stick, you can chase the caliph away. Right? You can caliph, you can chase away from a sheep. But an ari, the Gemara says is zutei shel yam. The ari is not with biyad adam to chase away. So hayayis, the ari is not biyad adam to chase away. There's no chiyuv on the achilas habasa. That's the chiddush of the Yom Rabbi. Chiddush is good to you. Makes it fits. Any problem with it?
For the whole thing with the drisa. If the drisa is such that takes everything away.
The heap of arms. Why don't you hide the whole thing on the drisa? There's something that's only a gram. That's a gram. You cause the owner to be miyadish. I think he calls that a gram. And that a gram is chayiv. You can argue that maybe it's not a gram, maybe it's a garmif. Was his body going to happen? I mean, even if the owner personally is not miyadish, it's automatic. But he calls it a grammar. And he says, I'm causing the yiyush, you cause the yiyush, chayvidin eshamayim. But on the etzem, yiyush, yiyush. So with this Seinfeld, the Rimeisha says that the Yamsha Shleimah's cash is off. What bothered the Yamsha Shleimah? What disturbed the Yamsha Shleimah was that according to the Rosh, why does the Gemara ask the Akash? According to the Rosh, only chayav chatzi nezek on killing the imra, but on eating the imra, you chayav nezek shalom. So that's pshat in this brisa. Maybe the brisa is going on ochla basar. Is up there? No, the brisa is not going on the ochla basar. It's only going on the treifa, on the taraf. Even though it doesn't fit so well in the lashon, it's a taraf of ochla basar. But he's learning that at least the Rosh will learn that on the Achilas HaBasar it's already Zutei Shel Yam. The owner's already Miyayish and there's no Chiyuv. So then the Yom Rimeishi, after saying this Teretz on the Rosh, he has the Kasha. He says, 1 minute, if Matzl Min Ha'ari is Zutei Shel Yam, Matzel Min Ha'ari means the animal is still alive. The Ari is running after it. So he asks, every time a person has an Ari, he should be potter on the treifa also. on the fact that the Ari killed another animal, should be putter on that also. Why? Because already when it's running after the animal, it's Utishaya. So right away, when it's running after the animal, that's Zute Shalyam. It should be Pater. There's something wrong with the Kasha. Just not logical. But that's his Kasha. His Kasha is, if I own an Ari, and my Ari runs after someone's sheep, the minute it starts running after it, the owner is Miayish. That's what Zute Shalyam means. And once the owner is Miayish, I should have a Ptur. I should have a Ptur. What's not logical about it?
Say the same thing
about a shark.
The what?
As soon as it, you know, the shark, it's still possible to stop. With a shark, it's possible to stop. It's not
too dishy, yeah. It's possible to stop. Once it sets its mind that it's going to do the character.
If the Matthias is that way, then you're right. If they could stop it, they, you know, they have bullfights. I never heard they should have lion fights. If I say it's possible to stop a bull when it's charging. But if not, it will be Zut Shiyam, it will be the same thing, the same kasha.
Kasha, if I bring the yam and I left the yam out on your sheep, you can say I'm chayiv on the sheep, I'm not chayiv on the...
Yeah, that's what's strange about the kasha. What's strange about the kasha is, if I break a dam to flood your house and destroy your house, so I'm potter, because as soon as the Zut Shiyam came, you're miayish. It's very strange. A normal Zut Shiyam, nature brought the Zut Shiyam. It's a wild Ari. It's a wild Zut Shiyam flood. Nature brought a flood. So you're Miyayish, so somebody else could get it. But here, you want the person owns an Ari, didn't watch his Ari. The Ari now is running after your animal. So now, since he's running after it, it's Zut Shiyam, you're Miyayish, so now the Ari could eat the animal. And the owner of the Ari is part of it. Whole kasha. I'm not sure what the answer is. It's just strange. The whole what?
When someone opens up a dam, it's garmi.
When you open up a dam, the kayach rishon is garmi, and the rest of it is grama.
Okay,
so then, I understand. If you're pater because it's not your maisa, I understand. But to pater because of zuta shayam, just sounds a little strange. He made the zuta shayam. And you're going to pater him because he made... No? I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm just saying it's strange. So Rav Moshe writes that Chacham Echad wanted to answer this kasha. Chacham Echad wanted to answer this kasha as follows. The Gemara is going to say in the next parak, on Yizayin on the days, that if you throw something off a roof, Zorah Klima, Reish Agag, if you take someone they'll definitely break. You take a set of china, you throw it off the fifth floor of a roof, so it's considered broken already on the way down. It's a Kli Shavur on the way down. Because since it's going to break, in the eyes of Halacha, it's broken. So when you chayiv, if someone throws something off of the roof, the second you let go of it at the top of the roof, at that moment, and it's not savable anymore, at that moment, you're already chayiv. Even though it lands 10 seconds later, you're chayiv at the beginning when you threw it. They state the Gemara. So Zakt, this Chacham Echad, who had din, if you have a lion, and your lion is running after a sheep, the minute the lion sets out to put his eyes on the sheep and runs after it, the sheep is dead. It's the same as being thrown off a roof. Your chayiv, the owner of the lion, is chayiv for the first minute it starts running, because that's when it's destroying it. Good. This is what the Chacham Echad wanted to say. Chacham Echad wanted to say that why you chayiv if your Ari runs after the sheep, like the Rush? Because the Ari running after the sheep, the first second he runs, before it's Zut Shiyam, the first second he runs, that's the shvira, that's the trifa of the animal. Just like if you throw something off a roof, the minute you throw it, you chayiv. Here, if you have an Ari that's running after an animal, since you can't stop an Ari, the first second the Ari starts running, the chayiv is there from the first second. That's the Chacham Echad's teretz, and that's why you chayiv on anything that happens afterwards, you're chayiv. So the Imri Moshe says he doesn't like the Teretz for the reason that Yossi started to say, although I don't agree with you, you'll see why in a minute. But what he says, what the Imri Moshe says, he says, 1 minute. Tosfos on the next Amud Beis is Machalik and Yizayin Amud Beis. Between, if you throw a Zara Kli Meresh Agad, if you throw a Keli off a roof, it's considered broken from the minute you let go of it. But Zok Tosfos, Zarak Evan Meresh Agad. Let's say somebody has a glass on the ground and you drop a rock from the Rosh Hagag, it's definitely going to break the glass. No one can stop it anymore. Zok Tosfos, that's not the klishavu. The keli is not considered broken right away. It's only when do we say mona tvira that it's a klishavu, or only if the keli is what's thrown. If the rock is thrown, or someone shoots an arrow, from the minute he lets go of the arrow, shooting it out to break a window, it's not a broken window till the arrow gets there, because nothing happened to the window. When the glass is the thing that's thrown, something happened to the glass, there was a shinui in the glass, so then it's a shavu, it's a kli shavu. When you throw an arrow, then we don't say it's a kli shavu. The line is like throwing the lion chases the sheep, it's like throwing an arrow, throwing an Evan. So he says, this Chacham Echad's Teretz is not true. Because you can't compare a lion running after a sheep to throwing a keli off a gag. The lion is like the arrow. And when the lion sets out, it's not a kli shavur yet. It's not the din of a Mada Tvira Tavah doesn't apply. So therefore, the Rimaish is not tefreden with the Teretz. However, the Imre Moshe made a mistake, because the Imre Moshe remembered the Tosfos on the Zayin Amud Beis. And everybody who learns this Perek, Ketzer Regel, remembers this Tosfos, the famous Chilukin Tosfos, between if you throw the Keli or you throw a rock. And Chaim Shmulevitz has a nice word on the Megillah, on Haman, on Avul V'Chafi Reish, based on it. So people know this Tosfos. But like many other things that are known in the yeshiva world, we don't paskin this way. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says that lahalacha, there's no difference if you throw the arrow or if you throw the keli. And the Ketzrei Sachayshin writes beferish the Shita Sarosh. The Ketzrei is in Simin Shin Tzadik, where this is brought down the Zohar Kli Meresh Hagag. The Ketzai says the Feirish that the Rosh Hashita is not like Tosfos. That the Rosh is not mechalik between if you throw a keli or you throw an arrow. This whole Imre Moshe was coming to ask the kash on the Rosh. This whole shtickle Torah is to gebite on the Rosh. So in the Rosh, the whole Yishuv is good. Now the other Rishonim are going to learn. So it's right, it's true. Imre Moshe has a second Torah. But in the Rosh, the Teretz is a good Teretz. That it's Mona Tvira from the time the lion runs after it. It's already Mona Tvira Tava. It's so the Chiyuv of the owner of the lion is from the minute it runs after it. From that moment. So now the whole Shaychus to the Rosh falls away. It has nothing to do with Kal B'Doch L'Imra. Kal B'Doch L'Imra is one Chiyuv for killing it and one Chiyuv for eating it. But a lion running after it is only one Chiyuv. The second it starts to run after it, there's a Chiyuv. Interesting. So when the lion starts running after it, you still don't know if it's Shane or Karen. You have to wait and see what the lion does. If the lion is running after it to be Dairus Vayichol, so then it's Shane. If the lion is running after it to be Torah Vayichol, then it's Karen. So whatever the lion's plans are, you have to know from the beginning, and that's the Chiyuv. So we see not like you. Shmuel said it's chayev chatzin ezek. We see it's chayev nezek shalom. Here we're talking that it is the derech. It ripped it to put it away. Ha'achla k'tani. Ayin says tarfa v'achla. So it's gemar shenim l'cha v'achla. The lion changed its mind. originally was planning to kill it and take it home. And then the lion gets got hungry and it changed his mind. How do you know the lion changed its mind? How can a person know the intention of the lion? Shmuel Shita is very shver. In Shmuel's case, maybe also the animal changed its mind. How do you know? So we have very stark akashas on Shmuel. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak with stud and katani. If it would be Dairus Vaichel, then it would be. It would be Tarfa Vaichla, then it would be Chayef Chatzin Nezik. Ravina says the second Teretz, Kika Amar Shmuel, Bari Tarbus, Valibid Rolavaza, Da Amar Laborche. Now Ravina's Teretz, the way we learned the Gemara, is very very smooth. Kikam Shmuel Bari Tarbus, and it's talking Yahachi Afiladarsa Nami Lachayev. So the Gemara says Ravina Lava Shmuel Itmos. This member of Ravina is gonna make some problems. There's a problem as follows. This Gemara, it's basically a smooth Gemara, except for the problem with Shita Sarash that I mentioned. Pretty smooth Gemara. However, this whole Gemara is not consistent with the Rambam Shita. When we learned Taisvis on the Yomid Aleph last week, Hanochash, Harielu Mu'adim, so I spoke out of two machlaikas in the Rambam and Taisvis. First machlaikas was, if the Ari and the Zayv and the Dayv and the Nomer, if it's shame, like Taisus says, or Karen, like the Rambam says. That was one machlaikas. Or Karen Mu'ik, like the Rambam says. There was a second machlaikas. Taisus said that these animals are only Mu'adim, that says they're only shame, for things that it does normally. And for things that are not normal, it's not. The Rambam said, no. The Rambam said that for things that it's, cipher things that it's normal, cipher things it's not normal, and Ari is a mood for everything, whether it's normal or not. That was the Rambam Shita. This member of Shmuel doesn't shtim with Shita's Rambam. Shmuel is Beferish Laitaisis. The Rambam says that you're a mood in Nezek Shalom for everything. There's no difference what the Ari does. If the Ari pays Nezek Shalom, then it's Shein, it's Shein. If it's Karamud, it's Karamud. But it pays Nezek Shalom for everything. That L'chayr doesn't shtim with the Rambam. So, for tomorrow, you'll take a look. The Rambam is in Perek Aleph Halachavav. Magen Mishnah, the Lechem Mishnah there. Lechem Mishnah on the Magen Mishnah is Masber. It says the Magen Mishnah says a Teretz, Lechem Mishnah has a Kasha. And in the Truma Sakri, in the back of the Ktzais, Simishimpe test of Ches, he asks on the Lecha Mishnah and says another Teretz. So we'll do that tomorrow. And our plan is to finish the Perek for Purim. So Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow I'm going to start the next Mishnah as well.